Hi, this is Julie Christensen with APSE. We're excited to launch the APSE Employment First, Employment for All podcast as a new way to connect with you. This podcast is a way to provide updates, real-time advocacy alerts, and information related to all things Employment First. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Erica Vallis-Pacer from National APSE, and I am the Professional Development Director there. So I get to do a lot of fun podcasts with members and folks in the field of employment first and working with people with disabilities. So today we have a real treat. Brittany Miles is with us today, and she lives in the state of Texas, and she actually played a huge part in starting their new chapter. So I thought it would be great to have her on to talk about her experience, where she came from, and how she got started with it. So welcome, Brittany. I guess I'll start off with, if you want to just give us a little information about yourself and maybe just let us know how you first got connected with APSE.
Yeah, absolutely. Erica, thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm really passionate about APSE and Employment First. And so any opportunity I get to just shout Employment First from the rooftops, I'm really excited to be here to do that today. And of course, starting a new chapter is something that I'm very familiar with and would want to encourage other states to do as well. So my name is Brittany Miles. Like Erica mentioned, I am currently living in the state of Texas, but my journey in supported employment started in Washington State. And I started at 19 years old. I kind of fell into the industry. I guess you could say one of my mentors recruited me at a young age. But I graduated from the University of Washington. And at the time, there was not a disability studies major. So I majored in law, society, and justice with an emphasis in disability studies, and then a minor in political science. So not only did I start so young in the field, but I also had some educational background. And every summer, I would intern at an agency in a nonprofit in Olympia, Washington, while I was still pursuing my undergrad called Morningside. So I got some hands-on experience with group-supported employment and individual employment. And then when it came time to graduate, it was, oh my goodness, it was 2008, 2009 downturn of the economy. And I just really wanted to work for Morningside full time as an employment consultant, but they didn't have the funding for me yet. So I did a little bit of work in the school systems as a substitute teacher until I was able to be hired on full time.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, very briefly. But it came full circle because eventually at Morningside, I was the transition manager. So our high school transition program, I managed that department. So it was kind of fun. Yeah. So
I probably have connections at the school.
Yes, absolutely. And I think anyone listening to this podcast, if you've worked in high school transition, it's something that once you're in it for life, and you just are passionate and love it. And so I still say that's one of my favorite jobs that I've had so far. Absolutely. Anyway, but how I got connected with APSE is once I was full-time with Morningside, but right before the CESP was the Certified Employment Support Professional. I'm really bad at utilizing acronyms, and everyone's like, what? Hopefully everyone on this podcast knows what the CESP is, though. Right when it was in development, I was part of a pilot program to do a special employment certificate through a community college in Washington. And so I had a year's worth of really wonderful training from experts in the field. And it went through all the history of disability studies to the disability rights movement, then to job development and long-term support job coaching. And that was supposed to prepare you for the CESP. And so about a year later, I took the CESP in Washington. And then while I was progressing through my career, my husband got a new job in Texas. And I tell people that I wasn't my choice to move to Texas, but I love it. I really do. But I was nervous. I was nervous going from Washington State, a leader in supported employment and employment for people with disabilities, to Texas. I thought the only opportunity I had to advance my career would be working in a sheltered workshop. And I just wasn't prepared to do that because I had worked really hard in Washington to help move people from group-supported employment, sheltered employment, to community-integrated employment. And that was a principle that I firmly stand by. And that's why I am inspired to be a part of APSE, because that's a philosophy that we share. So coming to Texas, I've only cried on my pillow twice, at least is what I've told people, but it's been a stark difference.
Oh, no.
Yes. In Washington, 86% of people with IDD are employed in competitive integrated employment. In Texas, it's actually gone down in the last year. It's only 6%. So I was really fortunate to be able to be hired by a provider that was known for day rehabilitation, but was merging with the longest standing employment agency in the DFW Metroplex. And so I got put in charge of that program. And, 3.5 years later, we've done some really innovative stuff, and we're trying to move the needle. And since we're still on me and my professional development, I actually am starting a new job. Did I tell you this, Erica? I don't know if I told you this, but I'm going to be working for the Institute of Community Inclusion. Did you hear that? Okay.
I heard through the grapevine that you would be taking on a new role, which is very exciting. Congratulations. But I'll let you talk a little bit about it as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. I am really excited about it too. It's really a dream job. If I got to task bundle, customize a position for me, it would absolutely be what I'll be doing at the University of Massachusetts with ICI. So I am very excited. I start March 8th. So I'm still employed in Texas, and I'll still be here in Texas. I'm still going to remain Texas APSE president. So really excited to continue that work and work from home. So that's me in a nutshell. Yeah, thank you.
So when you went to Texas, I'm pretty sure there was not an APSE chapter. And I know, like you said before, they were very involved in the state of Washington. So I guess, what were your first steps in looking to start a chapter?
Yeah, so coming to Texas, I needed to make friends. I needed to make friends personally and professionally. And I'm still like not as socially integrated as I would like to be, but I knew that what Texas was missing was what I really craved as a professional in the industry, and that is just being able to share ideas with like-minded professionals that inspire one another. And also, there needed to be some drastic change, systems change to our vocational rehabilitation and our Medicaid waiver provider systems. And I knew I couldn't do that alone. And so the timing was really great, where the agency that I worked for that had they were a part of a merger with the employment agency called Launchability. And what happened was we got a significant grant in order to merge together called the Better Together Foundation. And we got to use that money at how we could be better together. And one of my initial thoughts was, well, we need to do some systems change. Not only would that improve our services for people with disabilities, but it would also improve services at a statewide level, which is needed terribly in the state of Texas. And so we were able to devote a portion of my FTE, my full-time employment, to the cause of starting a Texas APSE chapter. And so I started with the people I knew, which one of our board members at the company that I currently work for, My Possibilities, I was really well connected. She's a former special education director, and she had known that the Texas APSE chapter had been established, but was waning or hadn't filed their IRS tax exempt status, and so they ceased to exist about 7 years ago. But she knew some of the board members from back then and connected me. So I was able to make friends, like I said, across the state with like-minded professionals. So we were able to get together, and we wanted to do this right because we knew that from lessons learned from the previous chapter, that Texas being such a big state was difficult to keep momentum going. And we didn't want it to be Austin-centric or Dallas-centric. We really wanted all providers in the state and employment-first-minded advocates in the state to be a part of the Texas APSE chapter. So we were very intentional when we got going. And we partnered with UNT Wise out of Denton, Texas, which is the statewide credentialer for vocational rehabilitation in Texas. And they happen to have the listserv of all the credentialed employment consultants across the state. And we were able to get the word out.
Perfect.
Right? I know. It's all about meeting friends, I'm telling you. And we were able to get the word out across the state that we were interested in starting this chapter up again. And like I said, it was very intentional. So we did a Survey Monkey, and we wanted to make sure people would get something out of their membership if they were to join and be a part of the Texas APSE chapter. So we asked questions about what does employment first mean to you? What would a Texas APSE chapter do for you and in your professional career and beyond? And we wanted to gauge interest, and the interest was overwhelming from that survey response. So we decided to have a Texas APSE chapter kickoff meeting, and it was a webinar. And, you know, lessons learned, we set it up as a go-to meeting as opposed to a go-to webinar. So everyone that registered, we actually had to cap it at like 60 people. And therefore, a lot of people didn't get into that kickoff meeting, but luckily we recorded it and sent it out across the state. But it just shows you how many
people. That's a good problem to have.
Right? Yeah. It just shows you that we had 30 people in person attend the meeting, and then we had over 60, who even knows how many were trying to get into the kickoff. And so we talked about the problems that Texas has in terms of implementing competitive integrated employment. And we talked about, you know, what the past APSE chapter did and what it would mean to start a new APSE chapter. And we did a call for board members so that we could get people and get this chapter started. And I had a lot of help from National as well, sending me the checklist and keeping tabs because it was quite a process. I'd say the longest part was kind of out of our control. And that is once we filed our chapter with the Secretary of State's office, COVID hit, and we actually sent in, mailed in documents, and there was no one working to process in-person paperwork. So we didn't get our IRS tax-exempt status until like 7 months later. So I say that we've, you know, just recently became a chapter officially at the end of 2020. However, we've been doing this for almost 2 years trying to get this going. And we've actually done a lot of work before we were even an official chapter. Because like I said, it's all about making friends and networking and really having a common vision. And we were able to do a lot before we were even an official chapter, before we even had dues coming in. We were able to advocate to our VR system and advocate to our Medicaid waiver system for some real change. And we've already started to affect some real change. So that's the story.
I was going to mention that, you know, and it does feel like it's been 2 years, but I guess probably, obviously, COVID did not help being thrown in there in terms of turnaround. But I agree. I feel like you've already been doing a lot of great work. Brittany, I won't take your thunder away. Would you mind talking a little bit about the different things that you've had published and of some of those impacts that you've had on the state?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've kind of shared that in Texas, employment outcomes for people with IDD are not great. And a part of that reason is we, as service providers, rely heavily on the vocational rehabilitation system because long-term support or even pre-employment before going into VR support is really non-existent and not accessible to many Medicaid eligible, waiver eligible individuals across the state. In fact, it's a 17-year wait list to get on a Medicaid waiver, as well as once you're even on it.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. It's sad. Once you're even on it.
How does that work? So 17 years, what age are people typically when they try to, I guess, get on the waiting list?
It varies, and it really depends on, you know, parent education early on and when they signed up. And, you know, we have a few different waivers and some have longer wait lists than others. But I'll just put a plug out there. If you go to the Texas APSE Facebook page, one of our board members, Doreen Gill, talked about her brother's story, Ed Jolloway, who owns his own business, is a person with IDD, and he's 55 and about 5 years ago just was able to get on the Medicaid waiver and open his own business and have long-term support.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. And so when you think about what opportunities for employment when someone needs maybe customized employment or long-term support with an employment consultant, I mean, you're not going to get that with vocational rehabilitation because it is meant to be a short-term service. Once you've reached stability and case closure, then you're rehabilitated. And the way that people with significant disabilities or with IDD remain employed and progress in their careers, sometimes it needs some support, and that support looks different and looks more, but that main support is through the Medicaid waiver system. And so it's been difficult as providers trying to get people with the most significant disabilities employed in good jobs when only access is really through VR. Texas isn't, it needed some change and still needs some change. And in fact, SB 50 is our employment first implementation. So we've had employment first on the books in Texas for almost 8 years, but there just hasn't been that implementation, and specifically on the Medicaid waiver side of things. And so we to get back to your question, what we've already done so far in the state of Texas is our policy committee is on fire. And I think COVID really just threw gas on the flames. And we were able to write a position paper to Texas Workforce Commission, which is our vocational rehabilitation agency, and then also to HHSC, Health and Human Services Commission, which implements the Medicaid waiver system, about just the injustices that are happening for employment services for people with disabilities. And TWC took note. They started listening to providers in the state of Texas, and we met with the policy director. The policy Texas APSE Policy Committee met with the Texas Workforce Commission Vocational Rehabilitation Policy Director about six times after we published our position paper, and went over point by point what needed to change. And we did offer some solutions. And what came out of that is a systems redesign for supported employment.
Due to technical difficulties, Brittany is in Texas, and I'm sure many of you know that there's been storms and a lot of damage, so their internet capabilities are a little hit or miss. We are going to redo the second part of this, so look for this part two of this podcast, talking a little bit more about what Texas is doing already to move employment first forward. It will be coming up next week. So thank you again for joining us, and we look forward to next week.